Well, we've been studying Luke 3, and if you want to take your Bible, I do want to direct your attention to one thought this morning that kind of ties in with what you've heard already, just about being specific. Luke 3 is about John the Baptist ministry, and his ministry was a ministry of preaching repentance. We've seen that already. God is calling people to repentance. That is the message of the Bible from really beginning to end. God has he's been sinned against, and he is extending his mercy to sinners to turn from their sin and trust his provision, Christ, for the forgiveness of sins. John came preaching that. He was the forerunner to the Messiah. Messiah was coming. His job was to announce that and to get people ready. And so he was calling them to repent, and people were coming out to listen to him preach, and he was baptizing them. And, you know, that's basically the same ministry we have today. We preach that Christ is coming. We exhort people to repent, and those who repent, we baptize. Baptism is sort of an outward sign of the inward genuineness of your repentance, your conversion. And so that was John's ministry. That basically is our ministry. We talked last time about that, about the call to repentance. It's gone out into the world through all the prophets, through Jesus preaching, through the apostles. The gospel message is this appeal to sinners to be reconciled to God through faith in Christ. Turn from your sin to Him. And I don't know, I feel like I preached that last week and maybe didn't give you an opportunity to respond to that. So I want to add one other thought and then do that. And the thought I want to focus on is verse 5. If you have your Bible, we looked at the first three verses basically last time. Verse 4 ties all this in with a prophecy from Isaiah. John's ministry was prophesied 700 years beforehand in Isaiah 40. And this is what Luke is quoting from here in verse 4. As it is written in the book of the words of Isaiah the prophet, the voice of one crying in the wilderness, make ready the way of the Lord, make his paths straight. Every ravine will be filled, every mountain and hill will be brought low, the crooked will become straight, the rough roads smooth, and all flesh will see the salvation of God. The New Testament writers apply that to John. John the Baptist is that voice, the forerunner to the Messiah. He came to make ready the way of the Lord, make his paths straight. Now, the background for that is this. This is what you need to get from that. Whenever a king was coming to a town or to visit any part of his dominion, any village within his domain, he would send ahead a delegate or a herald or a messenger, maybe 2 or 3 weeks ahead or months ahead, telling the people, the king is coming, get ready. And get ready meant make the way smooth. You know, clear the debris from the roadways and the obstacles in the way. Make it a smooth, easy path so that the king can enter your town with dignity and with ease. And so they would literally go out and prepare the way. They would remove big rocks and obstacles and limbs and trees and anything in the way, smooth it out, fill the potholes, if you will. I remember when we were in Idaho, President Bush visited our little town up there in Nampa, and I remember him on TV watching that whole deal. That's one of the things he told our mayor, fix the potholes. But that is what they would literally do, and sometimes it would mean actually building a road by filling in the low places and leveling out the high places and making a smooth, straight path so the king could come in and make it a pleasant entry. Well, Isaiah saw John the Baptist, or prophesied that John the Baptist would be that herald. His job was to announce the Messiah's coming, tell the people to get ready, and that's exactly what John the Baptist did. But you notice he wasn't out there with a hard hat driving a grader pushing dirt and gravel around, right? I mean, they would literally do that, prepare the roadway, but road construction's not the point here. That is not how you make ready the way of the Lord. The road or the highway that clears the way for Christ coming is a pure heart, a broken heart, a contrite heart. That is how you get ready to receive Christ. So the picture here is of heart preparation. It's not the physical dirt and the physical rocks and debris that need to be cleared away to make room for Jesus. It is the spiritual dirt and the rock-hard hearts and the sins that lie in the way that we won't get rid of. That's what he's talking about. And so it's an analogy here. Verse 5, I think, gets to the heart of it, the specificity of it. When we talk about repentance, what does that mean? What does that look like specifically? Let me give you four categories of specificity that you can think about to evaluate whether, like John said, you're thinking through this Christianity thing in a specific, personalized way, or just in generalities. First, he says in verse 5, every ravine will be filled. In other words, what does he mean there? All the low places need to be filled in and leveled out. I think about that in terms of sin. What does that mean? Well, all the filthy gutters, all the ditches, all the low places in our thinking, the secret sins, sinful thoughts, all the junk we want to keep down, hidden, out of the way that nobody else knows about. Repentance means you stop hiding all that, all the muck and all the mud that's down low. You bring it up, you deal with it, and then you fill in those low places. You get rid of them so the sin can't hide there anymore. That's the first thing. The second, every mountain and hill will be brought low. That's just the opposite. The low places have to come up and the high places have to go down. What are the high places? Well, in Israel, that could refer to idolatry. Tear down your high places, the shrines that you have erected to worship false gods. Stop doing that. But in general, it just means for most of us, humbling ourselves. Come down off of your lofty attitude. Deal with the pride in your life. Humble yourself before God. Every lofty thing raised up against the knowledge of God. All those philosophies, attitudes that exalt human wisdom, exalt human reason, exalt human accomplishment. All of that has to be brought low. And that's what repent means. It means to turn from self-trust, self-sufficiency, self-reliance, self-righteousness. Tear all that down. The problem is not that people think too low or too little of themselves. The problem is we all think too high and too much of ourselves. We need to humble ourselves in the presence of the Lord. So that's the thing. All pride has to be squashed. All self-righteousness has to go. I have to see myself as empty, lowly, broken, helpless, needy, destitute. Nothing in my hand I bring. Simply to thy cross I cling. That's where we have to be. We have to, like Isaiah says, see all our righteousness as what before God? Filthy rags. So the low places, level them off. The high places, knock them off. Tear them down. Third, the crooked must become straight or will become straight. What does that mean? Well, the word crooked, scolios, we get scoliosis from that. Anything crooked, curved, curvature of the spine. So straighten that out, the crooked things in our life, the devious, the hidden deceit, the lying, the the secret things we try to conceal that are twisted and perverted and out of line with reality and with truth. And that's really what sin is. Sin is perversion, twisting, bending the rules. And so we've got to deal with that. We have to let truth expose the error in our thinking. We have to deal with the deception, the wickedness, the crookedness in our own hearts. Confess that. I am crooked. I am corrupt. I would be a crook if I could get away with it. Confess that. Be specific in how you deal with that. Be honest about that. That I have strayed even from what I know is right. And then it says, and the rough roads smooth. And that, I think, is just a way to cover everything else that's out there lying around. All the trash, all the debris that lies out there in the road. All the obvious stuff that we can look back, if we're honest, and see, but that we're just unwilling to do anything about. Sins that we just let alone. Things that then get in the way of us coming to the Lord or Him coming to us. Sin that so easily entangles us. Roadblocks like the love of self and the love of money and the love of the world and the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the boastful pride of life. Indifference, apathy, all of that. Repentance then is taking a bulldozer to all of that and pushing it out of the way. Getting it out of my life. So verse 5 is just an analogy for genuine repentance. Specific, thorough repentance. You know, letting God into your heart with a flashlight where He can probe and expose everything that's there. Being willing to do that. Being willing to be honest before God and see your sin for what it is and deal with it and turn from it and stop hiding it and stop denying it and stop loving it. Acknowledge it to God. Yes, it is sin. Yes, Lord, there are filthy, secret, hidden sins in my life. Name them. And there's pride, high, lofty, self-righteous attitudes. I hate that. And there are wicked, perverse, crooked thoughts and things I do that are devious. And there are the blatant and obvious things in my life. I'm not gracious. I'm rough. I'm a rough road. I'm rough around the edges because I don't love other people. I just love me. It's being specific and dealing with that. Lord, you see that. Help me to see it for what it is and be honest about it. That is the heart attitude of true repentance. That's what we're talking about as we talk about repentance. And when we have that attitude, look at verse 6. Look what happens. And all flesh will see the salvation of God. See, true repentance paves the way for God's salvation to come. So I want to invite you to repent. And I know most of you are believers and you would say, I have repented. I've turned from my sin to Christ. I'm trusting Christ as my Savior. Some of you haven't, though. Some of you haven't done that. You haven't personally, specifically done that. Maybe you've been sorry for your sins. Maybe you've even stopped some of them. That's not repentance. You know, a man can be walking down a road to destruction, and just because he stops doesn't mean he's repented. You know, if you're going the wrong way and you stop, is that enough? Oh, you have to do what? Yeah, turn around. So that's what we do a lot of times, you know. We realize that, yeah, what I'm doing is wrong, and so we stop for a while. And then we start again. And then we something happens and we feel guilty and we stop again and then we start again and then we just go through that cycle indefinitely, but we never turn around and go the other way. That's what true repentance is. Deep, genuine repentance. It's like house cleaning, you know? There's clean and then there's mother-in-law clean. And so it is with heart cleaning. You know, there's temporary, external, superficial sorrow for sin, or maybe just a little bit of change to get my wife off my back or my parents off my back. And then there's true, genuine repentance that amounts to a complete about face, transformation of life that makes a new creation. So that I now live in this posture of repentance all the time. I'm always being sensitive to the Lord and to sin in my life and anything that would be unpleasing to Him. And I'm quick to confess that and quick to repent and turn from that. It's the attitude of Psalm 139:23. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my anxious thoughts and see if there be any hurtful way in me. And then lead me in the everlasting way. So I guess my invitation to you is if your repentance has been shallow, if your repentance has been superficial, incomplete, too general, then maybe you need to repent of your repentance. If you've never repented, you know you're a sinner and you know you need to be saved, you know that, then I want to invite you to repent. Turn from your sin to God. God is calling you to Himself, back to Himself. And I want you to respond to that. So I'm going to ask you, if you would, to bow your heads with me. And as I pray, I want you just to think through where you're at in this process. I know most of you are believers and you are truly repentant and you have soft hearts toward God. But maybe there are areas in your life that have come to mind just this morning that you need to confess. Take a minute and do that right now. Just be specific. Some of you here are living in sin. You know you have unconfessed sin in your life. You're unwilling. You've been so far unwilling to repent of it. You're just being defiant. You know that it's sin. You know it's wrong. And you've just had an either I don't care attitude, or I'll deal with it later, or God's just going to have to forgive me and get used to it. You need to repent of that too. And then some of you here, you know that, and you've heard the gospel so many times and you just never take action. You're hearing, but you're not doing. You haven't personally appropriated the truth of the gospel for yourself. You need to repent. Of whatever it is, whether it's pride or indifference. Maybe you just think, well, I have plenty of time. I'll do that someday. That's pride. That's presumption. You don't know that. So I would plead with you to repent today. If you hear His voice, do not harden your heart. Today is the day of salvation. Now is the accepted time. Father, thank you for your grace. Thank you for your patience, that you are not willing that any perish, but that all come to repentance. But Father, that doesn't do any of us any good unless I come. Unless we personally respond to that. Thank you for that reminder this morning. Pray that by your Spirit you would draw those that need to come to you. Draw them. It's your kindness that leads us to repentance. Show yourself kind. Thank you for the time this morning to focus on Christ. Lord, we're turning to Him. We're not just turning away from our sin, but to Him. He's the Savior. He's what we need. He's the one you're calling us to. So I pray we'll embrace Him. We'll see in Him a Savior. No matter how great a sinner we are, He's a greater Savior. We thank you for Him. Thank you that He invites us to come and promises not to turn anyone away who will truly repent and come to Him. If you're here this morning and you want somebody to talk to, maybe you know you're not saved and you're not sure how to be, and you want somebody to pray with you or visit with you, I'm here to do that. I'll be in the back. Steve is going to come in a minute and lead our closing prayer, and he'll be down here at the front. The other elders are available as well if you know who they are. If you don't, then Steve would be a face you'd recognize. He was up here earlier, and Pastor John and me. Seek us out and let us visit with you and pray with you if that would be helpful. But take advantage of the opportunity today to repent and be right with the Lord. Do your work, Father, and we thank you. In Jesus' name, amen.